Welcome to the Horror Friendly Podcast.
It's not over since that bitch is dead.
Let's delve into that a bit deeper.
I'm going to be like the peacekeeper between you two tonight.
Don't fuck with the original.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new season of the Horror Friendly Podcast, now part of the You Run Podcast Network.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. How are you feeling about that, Tal?
Oh, it's really exciting. Like, this is the fun thing. We've never actually met in person, but we've known Scott for a while, and it's cool to actually be able to work together a bit. So that's going to be fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, you ready for this?
I'm so ready. Are you ready for a new season?
I am, and we are starting with the season of the witch.
Hey. I'll see myself out.
Thank you. That is my joke of the season. It's not going to get better from here. Hello, listeners. Just to add in a trigger warning here, we are going to talk about the death of a child, specifically a baby. So if that is something you do not want to hear about, don't listen to this episode and go find another one. Look after yourselves.
What dost thou want?
What canst thou give?
Wouldst thou like the taste of butter? A pretty dress? Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Yes.
Wouldst thou like to see the world?
What will you from me?
Cool, so we are starting with the 2015 The Witch or The Vitch. In the New England of the 17th century, a banished Puritan family sets up a farm by the edge of a remote forest where no other family lives. Soon, sinister forces then start haunting them. Already muddling up my words, so yes, we are definitely back. Katie, do you remember your first time watching this?
Yeah, so I saw it in the cinema when it came out. I remember loving it. I think it was such an awesome film to watch in the cinema because like visually, I think it's just so stunning. So I remember it looking amazing on the big screen. And then I literally haven't watched it since I watched it the other day. So for the second time, so I've not seen it very many times, but I remember loving it, but I didn't remember a lot about it other than Black Phillip and a few other kind of bangers.
Black Phillip.
So I didn't remember a lot of it. So it was really good to watch it again. And yeah, I kind of have similar feelings about it, really. I still think it's a great film. What about you? Have you seen this before?
I have. So I kept hearing really good things about this. And I downloaded it because I swear this is half my story. So I watched it on the way to somewhere. But I had like a train journey to Scotland. So I watched it on the way up. And I remember just being like, this is so anticlimactic. I can't speak. Why am I trying to do big words when I can't speak? Anticlimactic. Is that a word? It doesn't sound right now. Anyway, it was disappointing. But I did wonder because I'd like downloaded it and I was watching it on my phone. Did I miss something? So I was like, okay, we'll give it another try. But I think I was right. I think I agree with you. It's visually beautiful. But is missing. So I understand what he's trying to do. And I understand they're trying to use those pregnant pauses and build up that tension. But I just think it flops. And I just think there's so much in the missing in the film. And I think it starts so horrifically. It starts really intense. And then just nothing. And then I kept expecting this big reveal and really scary moments, and it just didn't happen. And I have seen some, because I kept looking it up, because it's got like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes and 7 out of 10 on IMDb. So I was like, 4 out of 5 on Amazon. I was like, what am I missing? But a lot of people do comment that, like, it's visually beautiful, but it's not a horror film because it isn't typically scary. Like, but I would argue it is because it's folklore, but yeah, just for me, it's a bit of a letdown. I feel like anyone who's only listened to the last episode and now this one is going to be like, does she like any horror film?
Does she like anything?
What is she doing?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, I would definitely disagree with people saying it's not a horror film, because I think horror can be so gatekeepery, where like, oh, if there's no jump scares in it, or if it's not typically scary, then it's not a horror, which couldn't be further from the truth. Like, there are so many films that me and you have, and Charlie have covered, that like aren't those typical horror films, but I would still class them as horror.
Yeah.
Which is one that we're including in our new season, which I think people will find interesting. A film that we're going to be covering. Yeah. Which isn't a typical horror. So that's, so it's kind of an example of that, which I think you can make a lot of things horror. I don't think it has to be your typical. So I would definitely disagree with people that say this isn't a horror, because I think, like you say, it's definitely scary, but it's just scary in a different way.
Yeah, it's just so, I think my problem with it as well is they've built up this massive fear around the forest. And it's like, oh, is the witch real? Is Black Phillip actually the devil? But the thing is, at the beginning, they showed us the witch. So we already know there's a witch, but then they don't use that enough. They could have made it so much creepier. We could have had perspectives like from the witch's perspective watching the family, because they were obviously fucking with them. I think they could have done so much more. And instead there was like a 3-second shot. Actually, I think it was longer than that, but of like the back of the girls. I've already forgotten all their names. I was going to call it Anna, but I think it's the actress's name. But like the back of her head, and then a little, and like looking at the grave. But we looked at that for like 5-7 seconds. And I was like, you could have done some, I get what they wanted to do with the tension, but you could have done it in way creepier ways. Although I will point out that our favourite three finger from Get Out, Julian Richings, is the governor at the beginning.
Is he really?
I paused. I was like, is that who I think it is?
Is that Freeman? Julian?
Julian?
Julian, is it you?
Julian's back.
Oh, wow. Nicely spotted. I didn't even like notice that.
Yeah, it was only because my partner came in.
That's awesome.
Ironically, I was just like, I only noticed it because my partner, who was on the Get Out episode. Sorry, wrong turn. Why do I always get those two titles the wrong way around? So
it's kind of like a similar sense. I can see.
It's a two-word thing. So my partner, who was on the Wrong Turn episode, he came in while I was watching The Witch, and he was like, what are you watching? He saw the end and he was like, that was a bit slow. And I was like, but watch, and I made him watch the beginning to be like, look how intense it starts. And as we were watching, I was like, that's Julian. the second time around. So it was quite funny. But yeah, one day we're going to walk past him in the street and be like, Julian!
Julian, I'm your biggest fan.
Hey, Julian!
you're in literally fucking everything, mate.
But this is it.
How do you do it?
He does turn up in so much, but something like this, like, that was literally, they only had all those other extras for a 30-second scene. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. Yeah, it's very isolated in the rest of the film.
Yeah.
How did you get on with the Old English? How did you get on with kind of understanding the film and things like that?
I think the Old English wasn't the problem. I think the Old English affects some of their acting. And I know that sounds really bitchy as someone who's not an actor. But like, I'm going to quickly pull up their names so I stop getting them wrong and just saying that kid. Harvey Scrimshaw, who played Caleb, there was the point where he was in the forest with his father, and I think they did really well. I think that was a really good, his acting was great. And then there was a scene a bit later where he was getting the horse ready, and Thomason comes in and is like, let me come with thee, or but in much more Old English. And there, his acting wasn't as good, and he was it was like he was struggling with the old English and making it natural. So I think, although I think it's good they did it, I do think it affected the actors. Although the two little ones did really well, considering it was like, it's almost like talking nonsense when you talk old English.
Mm.
Well, I think it's how you can see how lazy we got over time, that we just started dropping sentences.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think I found with, let me get their names up too, with William, the dad, Finchy from The Office, if ever anyone knows. He had such a deep voice, and he was, I thought he was incredible in it, but sometimes I did struggle to understand what he was saying sometimes because of his deep voice. Sometimes that was a bit of a struggle, but generally I could like pick up what was going on. But again, I think with a horror film, like, you don't necessarily have to know exactly every single thing that's going on. I think that's kind of what makes it kind of more eerie and more creepy, is that you don't have to be completely aware of everything in a horror film.
I think with this one,
what do you like, want to understand everything?
No, I think with this one it was slightly hard, because again, I agree with the, so like, it was hard to understand them, but like at one point I had the volume down because it was when the parents were in bed fighting and then started shouting at the children, "Are you asleep?" Which would wake up the children. So they were terrible parents. We'll come back to that in a minute. But so that, and then they start whispering and I had to whack the volume up. And I was like, there is no like consistency with the volume in this. It's up and down, which drove me a bit mad. And then there was really long periods of silence. So I was like, it's annoying because you have to physically watch, because at one point the mum is laying in Caleb's grave. And if you'd walked out the room or you were looking down, like, obviously, like I've said before, I make notes while we watch films so I can stay attention. But like, I couldn't look down and make a note because I was like, if she could do anything, that's why I've looked up, because they're not talking, anything could have fucking happened. So I think with this one, you did have to pay more attention because it was a lot of what was unsaid was what was happening. But it was just...
Oh, yeah. You definitely had to pay attention, but you didn't necessarily have to know or understand what was going on throughout the film. Like, even now, there like are still questions and still...
Yeah.
What was real? Like you say at the beginning, there clearly was a witch. There was some sort of... Because you saw a witch seducing Caleb. You saw the witch sacrifice baby Samuel at the beginning. Like, you saw that there was someone doing this and that there was witchcraft involved. But then the other parts were the family going mad. Was that to do with poisoning, like some sort of food poisoning, things like that, like the crops? So you're unclear about that throughout the film.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily have to find those answers out. It's just something that leaves you wondering at the end of it. Like, what bits were this and what bits were that?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, because it was based in New England, which is, I was going to say it really confidently then, and then I doubted myself.
John will be listening, so...
I know, we just spoke to New England House of Horrors.
We spoke to Check the Candy, we spoke to John, he talked about New England.
And I will have to somehow get to them. They asked us what the United Kingdom was, and I realised afterwards, I said, not Northern Ireland, and I'm pretty sure Northern Ireland is included. So don't ask me for geography, I don't know why. I was also very... We were very drunk recording.
We were very intoxicated, so don't worry about it, babe. We had a great time.
New England is 6 states, so it's Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont. So Massachusetts is where Salem is. So it is, and there were, so obviously Salem is really famous for the Salem witch trials, but there is somewhere else, and I always forget the name of it, and I should have written it down because I knew we were recording this, but there is another place as well where there was loads of witch trials and stuff. But there was, so it's, obviously I understand why they picked there, and I get, because I was really lucky when I got to go to Salem, and you hear all the history, and that was the thing. Witches didn't exist in the way that obviously history tells us that there was witches, we're going to burn them at the stake. They were just people, and it was just gossip, and it was just people pointing the finger of, oh, their washing's really clean, they're this, they're that, their crops are really good, they must be a witch. So I get what the film was trying to do in the, you know, pointing the blame or placing the blame. And all of that. And even the dad was kicked out, I think, because he like interpreted the Bible differently. So they were like, you must leave now. So I get they were trying to do that of like driving everyone insane. Mm. And that is what happened. But it's also, I don't know, it's hard when it was just within one family and there's only five people and you're like, well, there was six because obviously, yeah, we had the, oh, sorry, wait, I'm really bad at math, seven because we had the little baby at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just crazy that it's like this whole family were turning on each other when it's all they have. But then isolation would also make you crazy.
Mm.
But yeah, and it was 19 witches that died in Salem. I was trying to get the number and I was like, because my brain, I was going 11, but it was 19. Because again, people were gossiping and pointing fingers and it's like terrifying how quickly it all happened.
It's like you could sleep with the local's husband or something. And then the wife would just accuse that mistress of being a witch.
Yeah.
And that's how easy it would be to burn a woman at stake. Yeah. Or often they would have mental health issues. Or they would be herbalists and things like that. And people didn't trust that if it wasn't in the eyes of God or if it wasn't by the Bible or in a Puritism. I'm trying to think of the word.
I think they were a Puritist family. So I think you are Puritism.
Yeah. So if they weren't signed to that camp, then it was so easy to target. It's such a... I was looking into it a little bit because it's always fascinated me, and I'm sure it was like for you so interesting to go to Salem and like see it all, but just depressing as well, just fucking depressing.
Yeah,
like, it's but that insane. Was it. Like,
yeah. Sorry. Finish your thought.
We're just like looked at a few bits, and it was like majority of people accused and convinced of witchcraft were women, obviously,
yeah.
But about 78%, and I thought that would have been a lot higher. Yeah.
So I can't remember the exact split, but that was the thing. Of the 19, a couple of them, I want to say five, but again, I'm trying to quickly Google so I get the correct number.
Yeah.
Badge somewhere, actually. I really love it, where it's got all the names of everyone who died accused of witchcraft. And they also, they couldn't be buried in a cemetery because they were accused of witchcraft. So they were buried just outside. But now what they've done is put like memorial stones there and you can go around and see them all. If I get my picture up, I'll be able to count them. But people leave flowers and coins and gifts for those, for the victims, wow. People who were accused of it. But there were some men who were accused. And I think that was one of the things when I went to the museum on it, because a lot of the women were hung. And one of the guys were crushed to death. So they lit like where they put the stone on him. And I think it was him. And I really wish I just had it written down. I might have to edit this to be like, no, I got it right. Cause I don't want to just give people shit information, but I think it was him. And it was literally like his last words were just like more, like put more on because he just wanted it to be over. Cause they were just like, they were trying to get him to like confess the stuff. And he was just asking for more weight to like crush him.
Jesus.
Unfortunately, I can't remember. I'm looking at some of the names, but I couldn't tell you which one it was.
A brutal time. A very
brutal fucking time.
Brutal time. Yeah, so I see here, overall, the Puritan belief and prevailing New England culture was that women were inherently sinful and more susceptible to damnation than men were. So I think women were more...
But it was also...
obviously targeted way more.
Yeah. But it was also... So they started trying to ban gossip because, again, like a lot of the women, if we were together, like doing the washing down by the lake or cooking or whatever, you always see pictures of like women like gathered around working together. But because they would tell stories while they were doing these activities. So similar to us nowadays, we put music on. They didn't have that back then. So again, part of my problem with this film, I think, was it's silent at points, which I found really hard to just have nothing. But I also know back in those days, it's not like you just whack a CD in, whack Spotify.
Whack on Nickelback.
Stick on your favorite horror-friendly podcast episode. Like, do you know what I mean? It didn't happen. So
no.
I get why they did it. And it was very reflective at the time. But for me, it was hard. And again, that is, you know, that's a me problem, not their problem. But that was... So yeah, nice. A lot of white women. So they tried to ban gossip, which is why as well, like even nowadays, gossiping is associated with women. It's associated as a very negative thing, despite the fact that if you get a group of men together, oh no, they're having a business meeting, they're making very important decisions. Whereas when women did it, it was gossiping. Wow. And that's why that connotation is still really bad. And it's like, fuck you, some of the biggest gossipers I've ever met have been men.
Same.
They love
that's
it.
That's hilarious. Oh, I mean, it's not hilarious, but it's just not surprising, but that's really interesting. I wouldn't have even put those two things together.
No.
That's and really it, interesting.
Yeah. So there was a couple, I mean, there was so many people who were obviously accused, and it was just horrible. Yeah, I won't go into all of it now because it's more about the film, but actually the history is really cool.
I think we've gone into more of the film though, like if you have any, like we should definitely get into this because I've got a few little snippets. So I think, yeah, we definitely need to set aside some time for this.
Cool. So should we start? What do you remember when you saw it in the cinema, what you thought of the fact that the baby dies in the first 10 minutes?
I mean, I was kind of all here for it, you know, because it kicks the film off. It kind of sets a tone, I think, of the film. I know you may disagree that like it kind of does that and then suddenly it's nothing, but I think it kind of shows that this film kind of has no boundaries. Yeah. And that straight away they'll do this. And I do quite like the fact that you do see the witch pretty soon, like pretty quickly into it.
I mean, they are the title character.
Exactly. You know, it's not a Michael Myers situation where he doesn't fuck up, you know, show up for like, you know, 45 minutes. So I like that. I think it kind of, like I say, just kind of set a tone, and that's why I kind of forgave and also liked the quietness of a lot of it, because I felt like there were, I suppose it's kind of similar to The Thing. Our argument was that I think there were enough elements in there for the quieter times to be justified, certainly in this film, because as you say, in that day and age, it would have been like that. And I think Robert Eggers was really kind of trying to give you that kind of sense of isolation and sort of quietness. And I think that's why it made kind of the horrific elements a lot more horrific, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, what did you think? Did you like the fact that you kind of saw the witch pretty quickly? And
yeah. And I liked the fact, in the harshest way, but I liked the fact it was, as you say, like such an extreme act. And again, you see the woman like mashing up the baby and you're like, oh God, like what fucking film have I signed up for here? And then, but that was the thing. It started really high. And I understand what you mean. Like it set the tone for the film, but I don't think it maintained. I don't think it held it. I think it came in really appalling and then dropped. However, when we do watch other horrors, normally it's that they build up to that. And then the extreme event, the fight, the whatever happens at the end. So I get that it was just kind of done in reverse and then it comes back to it. But I don't think the deaths at the end were nearly as shocking as that one at the beginning. So okay. I just don't think it set this expectation and then just didn't live up to it. Like we know what this witch is now capable of. And yet we never see her. And then,
but I see what you mean.
Yeah. I like the fact it was the family turning on each other. And this is the thing, by the time they're dying at the end, Thomason. I kept forgetting the name. By the time Thomason has like killed her mum, like her mum's been an absolute bitch to her the whole film. Like she doesn't deserve that, but she was also going, it was
self-defense.
One or the other, it was self-defense. And William getting ripped apart by the goat's antlers was a little bit intense. Antlers, horns, what do you call them?
Black Philip was ready to fight.
So my favourite thing, it actually came up on Instagram the other day, which was pissing myself because I was like, what great timing.
Was it how Black Philip was really misbehaving on set?
Yes. Did you see the same quote?
Yeah, no, you say it though. You brought it up.
Yeah, but it was so Robert Eggers was saying that his number one tip for screenwriters was don't put a goat in your film because you can't train a goat. The goat was a fucking nightmare, which I literally love. And it just came up and I was like, perfect timing.
I kind of feel like that's a whole mood for Black Phillip, though. Like, he should be difficult.
Funny thing is, once he started being an absolute fucker at the end and, like, running at the dad, I literally broke down, Black Phillip is a bloody menace. Like...
He's literally the devil.
Literally the devil, but I'm kind of here for it. And then you've got the five-year-old twins who was like...
That's the quote of the week.
And then you've just got these five-year-old twins who are like, love Black Phillip, and they're running around with no problem. Oh, like, he just fucking horned your dad to death. And somehow these two twins are just like, yay, Phillip!
Everyone loves Phillip.
Oh, you know.
Well, yeah, but apparently they wanted more scenes with Phillip in, which I'm all for. But he just wasn't behaving that it just wasn't going to happen. Like, apparently there's a scene which they kept in of Phillip misbehaving with the dads, but they kept it in because it looked so good, but he wasn't actually meant to do what he was doing. I think he was running the wrong way or something. So
I love the idea that the other goats they had would have been like, well, better well behaved, but because they'd already called it Black Phillip and shoot half the film, they couldn't change the goat. Yeah. It's like, god damn it. Because I did see as well, they, to keep it as realistic as possible, like, they actually, all the actors were hired from England and taken over. I feel like they filmed it in a remote place in Canada, because they wanted the authentic accent of a family that's just arrived. They tried to keep all the costumes like really, really realistic, and they would only film in daylight, or if they were filming inside, by candlelight. So I was like, that's actually, I really do appreciate the cinematography and how far they took it. I just want to be more scared.
I the first half, like, totally agree. I think, like, Robert Eggers is very, I don't know if you've seen any of his other films, but he's done, like, The Lighthouse and The Northman, and he's known for kind of, like, doing kind of, like, folklore films and sticking to, like, historical accuracy as well. So I was really, like, re-watching this after seeing a few other of his films. It, like, really made me want to kind of look into, like, how accurate is this? And I think he does a pretty good job.
Well, it's that bit at the end that says, like, some of this was taken, like, some of the words were literally taken from, I think it said, like, diaries and, like, like, historical books at the time. So I think that, like, you can see how much thought and effort went into keeping this film, like, trying to make the film good.
Definitely. I mean, even the spelling of the witch, because obviously that wasn't the... The letter W wasn't in common use at the time, so it would have been spelt with a V, which I find awesome that they've actually named the film that.
Yeah, I do love as well, because again, like, people would have been illiterate at the time, that, like, Thomason can't sign her name at the end. Although, can we talk about human Phillip? Because
about human Phillip.
Let's talk about human Phillip, because suddenly Black Phillip starts talking. I hate the idea of the whispering ASMR. I think that really doesn't fucking, it scratches my brain and makes me very uncomfortable, which I guess is kind of the point, but also made me turn the film off.
He is the devil.
He is the devil. And honestly, when I end up in hell, that's all they're going to have to do. Someone's just going to have to whisper in my ear and I'm going to freak the fuck out.
Oh, mate, you're going to hate it in hell.
I'm going to hate it. The problem is, I keep putting all my nightmares onto a podcast. It's not like they don't have fucking shit to work with. Anyway, although I also sit here and say, you know what could have been scarier? So hopefully Satan is like, mate, she's going to be in management.
She can be in HR.
She can make the nightmares. Anywho, HR. Oh, boo-hoo, do you have a problem? No.
Oh, I feel so bad for you.
Oh, that's so bad. I'm so sorry. Actually, I wouldn't be the one with cake. Do you want some cake? Will that make it better?
Booze? Moonshine?
Booze? Yeah, great. Who am I stabbing? Like, who? They sound like a dick. Do you want me to kill them? Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, I'll go to hell. Whoopsie. Anyway. Why is he a pirate?
Why is he a pirate? You have to expand on that, mate.
When Black Philip turns into a human, he's walking around, he's got spurs on his shoes, which I thought at first was like cowboyish, and then he looked like he had a pirate hat on when he's like talking to her. How did the goat become a pirate? And are they the same time? I feel like witches and pirates were a different time in history. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to have been a witchy pirate. That was my past.
Well, I thought the shoes that we saw were hooves, and that, like, then you see a human hand on her shoulder. That's what I saw.
I thought he had spurs on, and then he had like a pirate hat. We're gonna have to look up more pictures to be like, what the hell is up with the pirate goat?
I'm feeling that Black Philip wasn't a pirate. I think he was a man.
That's the quote. I feel like Black Philip wasn't a pirate.
That might be in your interpretation, Tal, which is great, because with films, you know, it's all about that.
Because I thought when you could hear it, it was hooves. But then it looked like, I'm going to put up a picture, it looked like spurs. And I was like, is she hallucinating? But again, then he goes back into a goat. And I'm like, where? If we had a Satan or a devil or whatever this guy's meant to be, and we had witches, why were they not used throughout the movie if they were actually involved?
Well, Philip was used. I mean... Philip was. I mean, the little kids spoke to him. And obviously, you know, you never find out whether that was legit or not. But like, now that we know who Black Philip is, I mean, he was the devil all along. So yeah, like he could, I suppose, morph into anything, anyone. So I didn't think she was, who knows? But I didn't think personally she was hallucinating. I thought it was just that she was having this conversation with the devil. She was signing the book.
Yeah.
With Mr. And that it was, and that Black Philip can morph into anything, essentially.
Mm.
So Black Philip has been stalking them this entire time because he's been living with them. And I guess the witches have too. I mean, the witches have been living in the woods and took the baby, took Caleb for a bit, fucked Caleb up, brought him back.
Also, actually, on that, why the fuck was Little Red Riding Hood, which is
making
what
out them.
Which were making out with a child? Like, that was fucked up. And then we had, like, a naked child on scene at one point. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this film?
Yeah, the naked child, and then he spits out the apple, and I guess the apple is, like, the forbidden fruit.
Well, because they were talking about apples and how they hadn't seen them since they'd been in England. So I was like, oh, where's this apple come from? Which,
yeah, just give it a wash. You know, have it.
Yeah, wash. He's already coughed it up. Like, yeah,
make a crumble with it. Lovely.
I did wonder that. I was like, are they hallucinating because they haven't eaten for like God knows how long?
I do get your point that, like, I think at times there definitely were hallucinations, like with the mum breastfeeding the crow, we'll get into. But I certainly think the bit with Black Philip, I don't think personally was a hallucination. I think that was her conversation with the devil.
Yeah, which is what I took it as. And then he was back to the goat. And I was like, can you pick, like, come on.
The devil can do what the fuck he wants to.
I mean, fair, but she's already seen him now as a pirate devil man. So, like, he's switching back and forth on us a lot. And yeah, fine, he's the devil. He does what he wants.
But, pirate devil man.
Pirate devil man. That's Halloween costume. I did it. Yeah, it was just, I think that was the thing. I was like, we've seen films before, and I annoyingly can't think of an example off the top of my head, but there's definitely films where, like, they've used the tension, they've used people turning on each other because of gossip, because of bullshit. And that's been great. And then it turns out it's just paranoia up. And then we've had films where, like, you have got the bad guys. This film kind of had both. Mm-hmm. And I think in my head, I was like, choose one. Because, like, if we're going with the folklore of the witches and the devil, go with it, because that shit is scary as fuck. I like the fact of, like, the pointing fingers and stuff, but the entire family turning on each other and all hallucinating and everything. I was like, but the witches were fucking with them, but they could have done so much more. That it was like kind of halfway between the two. And I get he was trying something different. But for me, it flopped. But then for most of Rotten Tomatoes, it was a success. So.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's kind of like pick a lane. I get that. Yeah. But yeah, no, to disagree, I guess I kind of thought that, like, the mixture of both created the sort of eeriness where you're like, is this the witchcraft bit? Is this the poisoning bit? Like, and those questions are kind of still left unanswered. I think, as I say, there was a witch, and obviously the end kind of shows completely that there was this a huge witchcraft element. But in terms of the family going mad, yeah, I think that's something different. But I get what you mean. But I kind of love the way you sort of threw multiple things at it.
Yeah.
But I get what you mean, where you're kind of saying stick to one lane and kind of go with that.
Well, I think it was, again, he could have had both, but I think he needed more of both, or more of the folklore side. Because again, it's pitched as a folklore film. And actually that took a massive backseat, which it's hard because I can see why, because again, in history, the witches weren't real. It was a lot of gossip and it was more that side. Mm. But you know what? That was actually a horrific time in history. And you still get a lot of it today of people, not necessarily accusing of witchcraft, but people pointing fingers and causing all sorts of fucking bullshit. So it's like he could have rammed that up. I mean, I know I'm very aware everyone died, but...
Do you think it would have been more horrific had there not been any witchcraft in, but they were instead accusing her of being a witch?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if it was like, actually the baby...
Because that's really what happened in real life.
Yeah, because again, like, we know the baby was taken by a witch, but actually if it was taken by something else, or if it was the girl, but actually, again, she didn't know she was doing it, because, like, again, there's other... We've seen, you know, there's other reasons it could have been. I don't know. It's just... I think that was it. I think for me, it was, I'd have gone a different way, which again, may not have been as popular because the reviews are really good. I just don't get it. For me, I'm just like, I don't get what the big whoop is, because there's just all these big gaps. There's all these questions and there's all this, it's not scary, but it could have been terrifying.
Okay.
Hey there, listeners. If you do not get enough horror from us talking in your ear holes every week, then check out Voices from the Mausoleum. They are also part of the U-Run network and they are awesome. They release 2 episodes a week on Tuesdays and Saturdays. So you can get your fix of us on a Monday and then head to them on a Tuesday. But they cover all things horror. So they don't just talk films like we do. They also cover music, books and television. And they also have shorter episodes where they talk about cryptoids, urban legends, hauntings and so much more. So check them out. Cool.
Yeah, you make a good point. Like, you know, I see what you're saying 100%. I liked the tone of the film and I liked the back and forth and the wondering kind of what parts were this and what parts were that. But I can see why, from another person's perspective, it could be frustrating.
Yeah.
See, I'm so fair. Like, I was so kind to you on the thing.
I think it's the problem is we can both understand the other one.
Totally. That's what it's all about.
It's just that I disagree with your point of view and you disagree with mine.
Totally. And that's absolutely okay. I think for me, like, I feel the reason I love this film so much, I think, is because, or I have a lot of respect for this film, is I just don't think a lot has ever come out like it before. I think it's just a very different tone. And like you say, just certain things about it, like how they only filmed in natural light and the historical accuracy of it all. And the acting, I think, is just on another scale. And I just think generally it's just quite a different film and just visually very stunning. And yeah. It kind of just really makes you think, and it's one that's a real thinker, and it's a real, like, one that you've really got to concentrate on. So I just think all of those things make for such a unique... And also, the ending for me was what made the film, because I feel like Thomason kind of came into her own eventually, and she was able to find kind of almost like a sisterhood within these witches. Because she was accused of being a witch, she kind of thinks, well, if I can't fucking beat them, I'll join them. Yeah. Like, that's kind of how she felt. And I'm fucking here for that. And I fully believe it's a good for her film. Like, she hasn't got the Puritanism side anymore. She hasn't got her family. What has she got left? She's got this. She's got this community. She has no choice but to sign this. And I kind of think, like, she's finally got a bit of her freedom and her independence. And I think it's a really great ending for her.
I do agree with you. I like her ending. I don't like the ending. I think it was so, them all floating off into space and far too much helium was just
the killer clowns.
Yeah, it was just a bit cliche. And I just think, but I know what you mean. And I, as you say, absolutely love that she's found, as you, I like that, calling them the sisterhood, her witches, as Satan puts it to her. You get to track, like, do you want to travel the world? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Great. She's really coming to her own. That would be nicer if her new sisterhood weren't covered in her baby brother's blood.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't win a war, can you?
I mean, she can't really pick and choose right now. But
exactly. Where else is she going to go? What's she going to do? Just die of starvation? Like,
I understand that. And it's her baby brother's blood all over. And I know she's also covered in her mum's blood, but that was self-defense. That poor baby, that was horrible. And I think that's my only thing with it. And I understand they're trying to make the witches seem like the bad guys at the beginning, but come on. Although it does seem like the baby brother's blood worked in the flying spell, because they all float away.
Clearly. But no, I mean, I don't think they were ever perceived to be as good people. I think that they were always the baddies. But yeah. I think it was just kind of like a good moment for her that she's found this tribe. But I know, they were still the bad guys, like, totally. But then the kind of the family were at points as well. Like, they were, as you say, I know you were going to go on to the fact that you thought they were shit parents. Like, yeah. I felt like the mum always had some kind of problem with Thomason. Like, there was something always there. And then it didn't fucking help that Thomason then lost Samuel.
I was trying to figure out, because it's very quick, that scene before Samuel gets taken. Yeah. So I think she's just holding resentment that you killed my baby, or you're the reason he's dead. And then she can't get out of bed. And I was like, I completely understand that the mum is going through grief, but now she's dumping everything on her eldest daughter. And then when the little ones are being shit, she's shouting at her eldest daughter, because the little ones won't listen. What's the word she used? Like, they pay me no mind. Mm. But the little ones aren't going to listen to the big sister if the mom's going to keep shouting at the big sister. So it's a really vicious cycle. Thomason's always going to lose. And the fact that the five-year-old tells her, mum hates you. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes the twins the bad guys, but they're just five. Like, they haven't learned not to be. And Black Phillip,
oh, they were, though.
What I want. So, like, between a goat telling her she can do whatever she wants, her mum letting her run wild because the older sister's the one that gets in trouble, like, this kid was going to push it, and Thomason didn't stand a chance. And I was like,
no,
she really is doomed.
I think as well, what was really interesting was when those little fucking shits, when Caleb was about to die and Jonas and Mercy were then pretending to have this episode on the floor. And that frustrated me so much, because these fucking little kids.
Yeah.
My point to that was that at that time, that's what was quite a scary scene for me, because it was probably very accurate to how it was in the day, where one person would pretend something, or two or multiple people would accuse someone of something, and then suddenly everyone believes them. So even the parents were kind of like, oh, but I mean, eventually in the end, the parents kind of locked all of them away. But at one point, like, they were, you know, the dad told Thomason to get on her knees and say, like, you know, do you, I can't remember exactly what he said, but like, do you love Jesus? Basically, are you, you know, a Puritan and things? And it made those little kids' actions made the whole family, like, question her. And that's probably what happened in those times, was that one little fucking thing would just spread, and then an innocent woman would be dead.
And that was it. And it was like, or it was the other way again, like to say the little kids were, oh, we're having this fit, but she's the one doing it. She's, and again, it, well, there was a lot of that where it was like four, I think it was four girls started having like fits and then blamed three women saying they've cursed us. And that was one of the examples actually. And the worst thing was as well, back then in court, the only thing that stood up was a he said, she said. They said, they said. Like, it was, there was no evidence, like, and any witness, like, do you know what I mean? There was nowhere to prove they were lying. So it was literally pointing the finger and being like, they're a witch. It was like a four-year-old was accused of witchcraft. Like, what the fuck have you done at 4 years old? But again, if you look at these kids, actually it's a game to them.
Yeah.
Until they're suddenly locked up and then they're like, this isn't as fun anymore. Why am
they're crying.
Why am I in the goat pen? Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's... Yeah, that's so true. I often think, I wonder if, like, back in those days, if they just didn't have enough evidence, but they thought, oh, well, she could be a witch, so let's just fucking kill her because we're just,
I think, like, it was, yeah, the answer to a problem. They didn't value human life as much. And I think...
No, especially a woman's.
Especially a woman's. And I think as well, in case, just in case, because if they were a witch and, you know, they killed all the plants and they killed the animals and everyone else starved to death, they couldn't risk it. So I think that's the really horrible thing, is a lot of the time it was probably just in case. Or again, it probably depends who was doing the accusing, because if you've got slightly more power and you're accusing someone, we've seen it nowadays. People with more power or perceived better in society point the finger at someone deemed lower than them, but everyone takes their word, and it's fucking horrible.
It's very true. Ugh.
But yes, so I did actually make a note. Did people back then just hate their own kids? And did they use the Bible / witchcraft as an excuse to kill them? Because again, the dad's just locking them up and he's like, you don't believe in Jesus, rah, rah. And they seem to idolize the two sons who had died to be like, you, yeah. And hence the mum's hallucinating them, but they've come back to her. But other than that, the living kids were just a nuisance because they had to feed them and they didn't have anything to feed them with. So they were just a hindrance. They weren't behaving. So they were more than happy to just, he quotes the Bible. Is it
Abraham.
Abraham. He's like, I will do as Abraham did and kill their children. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
Who are you trying to prove to?
And they talk about marrying or taking Thomason to a different home, marrying her off. I think is what they were getting at. Was it to marry her off?
Or if she was going to be like a house servant.
Servant, yeah.
I don't.
Okay. No, that sounds more accurate. I don't know, though.
It wasn't clear because it was Old English.
No. So I don't know in those times if they did that, if they were like, if they married people. I don't really know.
Although, I mean, these guys
maybe not.
So maybe there's not a lot of difference. Maybe she would have been married off and been I found the slaves.
But they had plans for her, and like, even that, like, if she died earlier on and it wasn't Caleb and it wasn't Samuel, like, there would have been more use for them. So it would almost, it's almost kind of like they would have preferred it if Thomason had died or earlier on, because then at least Caleb and Samuel eventually would have had come some sort of more use as men, I suppose.
Used it, and they, funny enough, probably would have married women and brought women in to help, whereas Thomason would have been married out.
Yes.
But also I think because they were saying some, because they were talking about the corn, so I think the idea was to sell her for food, because that's how little they had. But again, it seems really dark in a film, and this was the norm.
Yeah.
I was actually joking about it at work the other day, so we were talking about the royal family's marriages, and I was like, that was just a contract. Like, until the more recent, it wasn't love. Like, it was just...
You married your cousins or whatever you fucking married, like your third cousins or whatever you did. Like,
yeah. Or it was, again, they'd ship someone over from France. Like, again, I'm talking like the, you know, higher-ups with money, where it's like, oh, we're going to ship this person over because if you two get married, our countries will be better. And yeah, back then, you married whoever was in the village.
You married out of arrangement and of, like, convenience.
Yeah. And especially if you were a girl, like, what could that family offer your family for you?
Yeah.
That's where engagement rings come from, isn't it? The dowry. Because that's what they were, because the women used to keep them. And then if the man broke off the engagement, you'd already like been paid. It's all fucking, yeah, it's a whole fucking thing.
It's fucking mad. Absolutely mad.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So the mum hallucinating. Should we come back to the raven?
Yeah, let's come back to that. I completely forgot about that scene, and that was a scene that really, really shocked me.
Same. Absolutely forgot about it and was just
quite horrific.
You could feel it. I was like, oh.
I know.
And the fact she's just walking around the next day with blood, she clearly doesn't know or doesn't remember. She just, I don't know.
She probably still thought it was true.
Yeah, she was probably just...
She probably didn't even notice there was blood on her.
No, she probably just thought, I've been breastfeeding, it's going to hurt a little bit. Maybe he bit, like, do you know what I mean? Like, again, she wasn't in the right state of mind to kind of...
She wasn't. She was, like, laughing manically. She was just... Oh, just that scene. I can't get that scene out of my head. That shot of her is so powerful.
Yeah. No, that one... And again, that wasn't scary, but it was fucking shocking when you see that. That, just that one clip. And even when... I don't agree with her trying to kill her daughter, but when you walk out of the house, your husband's dead, your two twins are dead, your goats are dead, and your daughter is somehow standing in the middle of it with blood on her hands, I can see why she thought it was her. And why that kind of, well, it's me or you.
Yeah.
And she tried to strangle her. Like, it wasn't okay, but only because we know the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think, like, she was going mad anyway.
Yeah.
Mad with grief or whatever it was, or... food poisoning, whatever it kind of chalked up to be with that family. Yeah. But yeah, she was, and then this was the final straw where she was like, yeah, you've done this.
This is you. What did you think of the dad stuff, actually, with like, when he was like, my God, it was the goat the whole time.
Yeah, he's like, oh, shit.
What the fuck?
Black Phillip, you were here the whole time, man.
Like, it was pretty gruesome, but I was like.
It was pretty gruesome. I was kind of here for it.
It was a bit unexpected. Like, I remember the first time and I was like, I mean, I knew, well, we thought Black Phillip wasn't exactly a good guy because the kids keep telling us he's not. But I didn't expect him to just turn on the dad suddenly. Like, it did kind of throw me a bit. I was like, what?
Black Phillip takes no prisoners.
No. But do you think, like, do we think he was a good dad?
It was really difficult with him because there were some points where... Like when he owned up to selling his wife's silver cup.
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of let Thomason take the fall for that for a bit, but then he eventually owned up and he did kind of stand up for her every so often. So I was a bit torn with him because there were some points where I thought he was. And then, yeah, a lot of it, he was just, I think he was the one that was struggling with his faith the most.
I think, yeah, and I think that was it. I think he did try and, like, hear the kids out to try and figure out. I mean, he did do it aggressively, but he was trying to figure out what was wrong. But because it was him that got the family kicked out of where they were before, I think it was him trying to fix it. And I think it's that really horrible head of the family pressure that he just, whatever he did wasn't good enough. Like, look how much wood he chopped. He just kept fucking going because what else could he do? He couldn't fucking grow anything. Everything kept dying, so... I think that was it. I think he was just stuck in a, I have to do something. And it was hard.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, definitely. Why was Thomason taking off his shirt?
I guess it's kind of like the man of the family. It's kind of like, they aren't expected to do that.
Like, I know they were like, oh, go wash your dad's clothes. But I was like, why couldn't he take his own shirt off? Like, shit like that. I'm like, come on. Like, he's apparently this capable guy, but he can't take his own shirt off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not really sure. It's, yeah, that was kind of weird, wasn't it?
Such a petty detail for me to be, like, caught up on. But I was like, why?
Well, no, but, like, that does remind me of kind of Caleb's character as well, because he's definitely got some repressed emotions for his sister, Thomason. Some sexual kind of elements there where he's looking at her chest a lot. And I think also that's very fitting with how he eventually dies, is that he gets seduced by this witch.
Yeah.
Because clearly, like, that he's out of that age and that kind of thing is on his mind. So
to be fair,
I saw some hella influence for that from The Shining as well, when you see the woman, the beautiful woman, come out of the bath. And then when Jack Torrance is making out with her, she turns into the old woman. And it's kind of similar vibes.
It is. Definitely still creepy with the age gap. But yeah, definitely similar vibes.
Oh, 100%.
But can you, like, I do get it, though. Like, I understand we're like, it's an incest scene. Although he's only checking her out. They don't go any further. But so can you imagine... But can you imagine being a hormonal teenager and the only people around you're related to? Mm. Like, I'm not sorry, but those twins, if they are still that secluded by the time those twins got to 15, they'd be fucking. Again, we literally just had this conversation. Everyone was marrying their cousins. They've got cousins. How did Adam and Eve get started? Like, where, who did their children fuck? What, do you know what I mean? It's like they're gonna have to find other people.
I totally know what you mean. It just makes me feel a bit sick thinking about that.
It is disgusting, but there is literally no one else around, so they're gonna have to go and find other people, because, like, unless they just never have sex their entire lives,
because that's an option.
Literally no one to have sex with, so keep it in your pants, the lot of you. Which is probably better, to be fair. They don't need any more mouths to feed. They've got no food. So
no, that's true. But no, that you're totally right. Like, that all makes sense in terms of, like, Caleb's, he, and also because he kind of is fighting it, so he almost, like, knows it's wrong. He, like, and he has a lot of care for Thomason. You can see that they've got quite a sweet kind of relationship, but there is also that you can't get too comfortable or too, you can't be too kind of like, oh, by it, because he has also got those emotions that he shouldn't have towards his sister. I think that comes back to bite him in the ass when he's confronted by the witch.
And I think as well, like, partly I think it's because it's his sister, but also because his dad's obviously quite harsh on him with the Bible. So it's like, because what does his dad pray at one point? Like, I've got the sin of pride. So he's obviously explained to his kids the sins or the seven sins. So he, like, Caleb probably knows lust is one of them. Mm. So he's probably beating himself up double ways here. He's like, I can't look at her like that. But she's also my sister, so I really can't look at her like that.
There's probably a lot going on in his mind.
And he's trying to get away from her. And then she's like, give me a cuddle, because she has not realized what is happening.
Yeah.
So it's like, just let your brother go. Like, he's trying to be good. I'm not defending the incest scene, but I get it. I understand it. I don't think it was necessary, but I also get it.
I mean, I kind of do. I think it kind of adds on to everything. It kind of adds on to all these repressed emotions that all of them were feeling, and like abandonment and just completely just being on your own, and the feelings that, I don't know, I think it kind of showed a human side of all of them.
I will say, actually, he was the one that, he also coughed up the apple. As you said, it's the temptation fruit. It's the forbidden fruit. Ah, God, this film can go. Okay, there is an extra layer to this film I hadn't realised.
Only just processed that I said about the forbidden fruit?
No, I know, but I hadn't put it into that terms.
Yeah. With Caleb and his past.
I was definitely watching this film with more of a folklore witch trial history in mind rather than the Bible, and that's only kind of just registered actually how many aspects from the Bible were there as well.
When Caleb dies, he ends up professing his love for God and then just like dies peacefully.
Well, yeah,
because that kind of says a lot, because he's like trying at the end to kind of be like to redeem himself in some way.
But he said, like, when Samuel died and then his mum and dad refused to even say his name, and he was like, if I die today, will I go to heaven? Like, you know, Samuel wasn't baptized. Would you not talk about me in a week? And I think that was really impactful. Like, that scene, I think, is really good. And that was where I was like, it was really good acting, because you've got this kid trying to figure out faith, trying to figure out life and death. And he's young to be figuring it out.
Yeah.
But he's asking some big questions. And I don't think the dad can handle it.
No.
Because he actually probably doesn't know.
Well, you're right. And even at the end, when they come out of the forest, the dad's like, don't speak of this to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't something to be kind of openly spoken about. It was a forest conversation between those two and the fucking 20 other witches that were there.
Hey, what happens in the forest stays in the forest.
It fucking does.
I know we already mentioned it, but I'm going to jump back to it quickly, actually, because I did make a note. The mum's death, I did actually put, is actually quite sad, like the way it was acted by both of them and that whole struggle. Sorry, it was just while we were talking about good acting. That bit was actually, you could see they didn't want to do it, but they both felt like if they didn't, they'd be dead. And it was, I did think that was quite good.
Yeah, I think especially Thomason, because she almost kind of like holds her for a few seconds before she pushes her off.
Yeah, that was rough.
So, fucking hell, no wonder she turned into a witch. I would too.
Yeah, to be fair. I did write down, I forgot actually, because they obviously did the blood laying on Caleb's face. Caleb. And then I also put after that the blood of a goat. And then I was like, that's quite a good metal name.
That is a sick metal name.
Right? Oh, that's pretty good. But yeah, other than that, I didn't have a lot more notes on it. I don't know about you.
No, just kind of, I guess, more of the kind of witchcraft vibe and the witch, the trials and things. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much, any sort of photos or like context you got when you were there, Tal, but like, if you do have anything, it would be awesome to like, if you could put any of it up, like on socials or anything like that. If you do have anything in relation to that, I think that would be like super interesting.
Yeah, no, I've definitely got some photos of, as I said earlier, about their gravestones, like the stones they added. Because that was just, you can kind of, everyone's really respectful in that area, which was really nice. And it was just that, because it's like these poor people who, yeah, lost their lives because of fucking gossip, essentially, and finger pointing and blaming. The problem was as well, I think there was some people that pointed fingers years later confessed that it wasn't real, by which point it was too late, and they, you know, could blame it on them being young and everything. But it was, and I know it was a different time, but it was just horrible to think that it happened that easily. And it was 14 women and 5 men, so I found the numbers. And it was where I said about one, and there was another man. So sometimes you'll see 19 and 20, sometimes you'll see 20, because it was one other man died under torture after refusing to enter a plea. So he was also accused of witchcraft. Although he wasn't hung or crushed to death because of the witchcraft, he did die during the torture of it. So he's still also included. But yeah, so it was like the deadliest, the reason Salem is so famous for its witch trials is because it was like the deadliest witch hunt in colonial North America. So, which is pretty terrifying. And it's the most notorious case of mass hysteria, but it wasn't unique as in, so there was a much broader, I'm literally reading this off Wiki, because if I try and put it in my own words, I'm tripping over myself. So I'm just going to stick with what Wiki has said. So it was not unique, but a colonial manifestation of the much broader phenomenon of witch trials in the early modern period, which took the lives of tens of thousands, mainly in Protestant Europe and the Americas. Because this is the thing, again, like we had loads of witch trials over in Europe, but for some reason, I was going to say you don't hear about it as much. I think we do. But again, I think it's kind of just, I think we had so many that were like in Salem, they knew everyone by name. They could still tell you all the names. So yeah, because when I was there, I did actually see the witch house, but it's actually no one who was accused of witchcraft lived there. I believe it's where the judge lived who did the trial. So it's still a bit of a spooky house. I didn't get to go in, unfortunately, because obviously I booked it all quite last minute. So we will have to go back and we'll have to do it properly. But yeah, so it says like the trials were started after people had been accused of witchcraft, primarily by teenage girls such as Elizabeth Hubbard, 17, as well as some who were younger. Dorothy Good was 4 or 5 years old when she was accused of witchcraft. And I think I read somewhere she had to spend 8 months in prison. I don't know if she survived or died, because obviously she would have been young and the conditions were terrible. But it's just fucking insane. Like, how is a 4 or 5-year-old? Like, what are you doing at that age? But again, was it a game to her? Did she just think it was magical and fun? I don't know.
It's crazy. Fucking crazy.
And it's really easy for us to say that now, to be like, oh, this is mental. But like, I can see why it happened. Because I mean, we heard rumors in school and they spread so quickly. So I can see why and how it happened. But I'm also like, why was the option to just straight up kill everyone?
Yeah. Well, I've seen here that some women even confessed in order to spare their own lives.
Yeah.
So like if they admitted it, I mean, I don't know how that would have spared their life. I mean, can you go into witch rehab? I don't know.
I think it was because they'd be like, oh, well, I used witchcraft, but only because so-and-so showed it to me. And so they would say they used witchcraft but weren't a witch, and then blame it on other people who were the witches, kind of thing.
I see.
I think that was how like people managed to get away with it, like by confessing, which is just crazy.
So there's a bit here. Sorry.
No.
Quarrels, I've got this from Wiki too, but it's really interesting. Quarrels with neighbours often incited witchcraft allegations. One example of this is Abigail Faulkner, who was accused in 1692. Faulkner admitted she was angry at what folk said, and the devil may have temporarily overtaken her, causing her harm to her neighbours. Women who did not conform to the norms of Puritan society were more likely to be the target, and especially those who were unmarried or didn't have children. So we'd be fucked up.
I was about to say, like, so our next question was going to be, would you survive? But from what you've just read, unmarried, childless women at 30 years old.
How dare you?
God, we'd be seniors in the village, but.
Yeah, then. Maybe what is that?
What is
the question? The question. Well, it's really, thinking about this when I was watching it. It's a bit of a difficult one because it isn't really that kind of film that you can pick. But I mean, to be fair, like if I had nothing, if I had like nothing going on, like I had nothing left, then I suppose if I was in that state of mind and I'd just done what I'd just done.
Yeah.
Maybe I would do that. I would see some kind of like solace in that, and some kind of like I said, sisterhood, and at least I'm with people.
I think that's it, because it's
because what's the alternative?
And I think that's and I think that is it. I think so you'd survive because you're like, well, got to survive, really. Got to keep going. I think I'd survive. You? Yeah, I think I'd survive because I don't. Because I think I'd struggle with this environment, with this I'd have been a terrible person once upon a time.
Yeah, you would be.
Yeah.
Like you would be so bored. So need to be a witch, mate.
Yeah, I think as soon as I overheard my parents being like, we're gonna sell her, I'd be like, do you know what? I'll save you the trouble, I'll take myself away. Like I think I'd have been in the forest like way earlier in the film. Like just out of boredom.
Just need to do something.
Just out of boredom. I'd have seen a fire. I'd have seen some women dancing naked around a fire and be like, this is my jam. And like, yeah.
Fair. Fair play. Cool. We're both surviving, babes.
Yeah. I think we've got this. And what about your favourite spooky moment and your spookies out of fab?
How funny. I've literally not even thought about my spooky moment. What is wrong with us?
We're back, baby.
We're back. Oh, spooky moment. I'm going to go with the crow, I think.
It's got to be the crow.
I think we've touched on that enough. And I'm going to give it a 4 spooks. I liked it just as much as I liked it when I first watched it. I'd definitely watch it again. Love a Robert Eggers film. Got a lot of time for him. I think as well he was so passionate about the witch trials, and he used to take a lot of like school trips to New England and things, so I think his passion about it really showed in the film, so I thought it was awesome. So yeah, 4 spooks for me. What about you?
My favorite spooky moment, because you've taken the crow, I'm gonna go with the baby.
Sorry,
because I think you see the baby laying there, and then as soon as you see the knife, you're like, oh fuck. And I think once you see the mashing, you know the worst thing? Do you remember in school you used to have that rhyme where it's like, I'm mashing up my baby, bumblebee? That came into my head because I'm a fucked up human being. And I think, because at first I hadn't realised it was the baby. I thought she was just mashing, and then it all clicked in my head, and then that song came into my head. So I'm a terror. This is why I've accepted I'm going to hell.
Love it.
But Spookies at 5, I was going to give it a 1 because I just don't like it that much. But after talking to you, I feel like I have to give it an extra half.
Are you kidding me?
I really don't like it. I really, really thought maybe it was just because I was distracted when I first watched it and there just wasn't a lot going on. But no, even this time, there just was not enough going on. And I'm sorry.
That's fair.
Is it
mental, but it's fair.
I'll give it the extra half because I do appreciate how much went into it and like kind of, yeah, what Robert Eggers was trying to do. And I appreciate kind of all the historical stuff he took into it. I just would have gone so many other different ways. I give that half a Black Phillip because legend. What a little nuisance. Amazing. That was our Witch episode. Witch. We'll see you next time. We are back, baby, with season 7. So we'll catch you in a couple of weeks or next week for our next episode. Until then, catch us on all the socials and we'll definitely add on there some way loads more witch history because I would have fucked it up if I had to try and say it all in one go. So we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't
die. Fuck it out.
Black Phillip will fuck you up.
Over since that bitch is dead.
Let's delve into that a bit deeper.
I'm gonna be like the peacekeeper between you two tonight.
'Cause I'm the original.
Yeah, don't fuck with the original.